Hi dear movie breakers, here we are still at Venice and I bring you the next interview, this time with Anna Christina Barragán. Hi.
Hi, good to meet you.
Yeah, she's the director of the Horizons film, The Ivy, and it's your third feature film. And how does it feel for you to have it now here in the one of the most prominent side section of the Venice Film Festival?
I feel really grateful because my first two features were a previous step to come here. And for me, having the film here is like the second time in Ecuador cinematography we have a film in the official competition, I mean in Horizonte. So it's very important for Ecuadorian cinema. And also for me, I hope it is a door to make more projects in the future.
How hard is it to make a film in Ecuador? Is there support or would you say you're pretty much on your own?
There is support, but very small support. It's very difficult because the grants are very small. So we have to do co-productions with other countries. In this case, we did it with Mexico, Spain, and France. So we can raise the money to complete the film. And it takes us a lot of years, let's say.
Your story is a drama that deals with family relations and the complicated dynamic of reconnecting with family members. How did you find that specific story?
In my previous film, I explored as well like the relation between family members. In the first film, it was like a daughter and a father that don't fit in their environment because of their shyness and social background. In the second, I explored the relation between two brothers, let's say. And in this film, I wanted to work with two strange characters that like kind of play to be family. And they decide like to be family by their decision, let's say, because both are kind of broken and both are abandoned. They become close together. They kind of lift an animal behavior because at the end of the film they go to the forest, and in this place this permits like a more free being. I don't know how to say.
Mm-hmm. And the main characters are a mother who had to give her child away when she had it as when she was still a child herself. Mm-hmm. And now that the son is almost an adult, she feels the urge to reconnect with him. Mm-hmm. Is there any real life inspiration for that story?
Yes, I am interested. I mean, it's not the exact real life story, but I am interested in telling about the post-traumatic stage after being a very young mother, like girls who are forced to be mothers. Like she was a mother when she was 13, and this like was very hard for her and her body and her life. She had to stop making gymnastics. Like he was a bit of traumatic, let's say. So it's a character that is 30 years old, but is her behavior sometimes is like if she would be 13, let's say. And on the other hand, Julio has grown in this foster home or orphanage, and now he's 17 and he has to leave the orphanage, and it's like he has to go to the world by his own. So they meet in this exact point.
While abortion is not directly a theme that's addressed in the film, it kind of seems to be seeping into the story, since abortion is illegal in Ecuador, as far as I know, and that's under any circumstances. So even in this specific case, as we see it in the film, when there's a child that's pregnant and she has been sexually abused, so which would, even in many countries that penalize abortion, this would be two reasons that allow to have an exception. This is not the case in Ecuador. Do you see your film also as a political commentary on that situation?
Yes, I think that even if it's not so direct, it is. Like, it has a political position towards abuse, and also there have been many cases in a gymnastic place in Ecuador of girls who have been abused by their trainer, and also girls that cannot have an abortion because of the law, and they are like convicted, you say, like they have to go to jail in this case. So it's something that we are fighting for, and that is step by step changing, but it's like really worse than other countries in Latin America. And yes, in the film, I mean, you discover that the mother is the one also who kind of forced her to have the baby and didn't let her because of her own convictions, also like religious.
Would you say that the religious themes play a big role in this process, that abortion is also not just forbidden by the state, but also considered a sin by many people in the population?
Yes, indeed. Like, Ecuador is a very Catholic country, let's say. In the film, we don't see this much. It's like you just perceive small things because the film is like more ambiguous and it shows just like the tip of the iceberg, and you can feel how things were, but they are not really explained. But yes, like in Ecuador, it works like this.
Was it more problematic to get funding for a film that deals with such contentious themes?
Not really, because as it is more like I'm not so direct, I mean, it was like not a problem to raise money in that.
How did the casting work? You work with newcomers, mm-hmm. Especially in the role of the son. I think he's a complete newcomer, and also mm-hmm. the main actress has not that much screen experience. How did you find them, and how did you make the decision to cast mm-hmm. people who have not such a strong screen mm-hmm. experience?
I really like to work with non-professional actors. Like, this is something I have done before with teenagers as well. And we did a kind of big casting. We met a lot of adolescents. And Julio had, like, Francis, the actor, has something really hypnotic, very deep in his own life experience. So in very small gestures, you can perceive who he is, and he's very strong in front of the camera. And we did a lot of rehearsals, and we work a lot in learning what is acting and what is natural, what is not. And we explore a whole bunch of feelings, and we improvise a lot. And with Simon, I have seen her film La Región Salvaje from Amate Escalante, and I really like her. She's like really mysterious, let's say. And I like the fact that she kind of is an actress, but like she also, the person she is, like I am interested in her own being, let's say. So we work a lot together, and also with the other adolescents, because there's a group of almost 8. And we work for a long time. We did a lot of rehearsals, because for me, the main thing in films, the thing I like the most is our acting direction. So to direct the actors and be really close to them.
Would you say you're more fascinated with the characters on the fringes of society and characters who are damaged or mm-hmm. who have to go through very hard times?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I am interested in characters that don't fit in the parameters of success or normality, and relations between them that could not be classified like, okay, they are mother or son, or they are sister and brother, or they should behave this way. I like to like the ambiguity of intimacy and all the like to push the limits of what we consider normal intimacy between people. And yes, in this case, both, even if they are belong to different social classes in the film, is like both have been abandoned, let's say, and both are broken. So it's interesting to see them come together like a force.
Mentioning the theme of complicated intimacy, there's also this subject that's kind of there of incest and incestuous mm-hmm. relationships. Do you think that society has a too conservative view on voluntarily incestuous relationships? Because even though many people instinctively say, oh, it's wrong, then if you start to take it apart on an argumentative base, it's very problematic, actually, if you see like there's not so much reason to ban it, actually, other than moral ideas of what is right and what is wrong.
Mm-hmm. I mean, in the film, what I like is that it's not incest either. It's like...
No, it's more something in the air. It doesn't happen. Uh-huh. It's more an idea or a feeling that it could.
Uh-huh. Yes, it's like I wanted to explore like the Oedipus complex, like kind of when you are a baby and you are in love with your mother or the son, but now they find each other and they are both adults, but they haven't had this mother and son time. So maybe this occurs late. And at the beginning, you don't know if she likes him or he likes her. It's like they look almost the same age, but she's 30 and he's 18. And then little by little, it's like, no, she drives things more to a tender world, let's say. And he doesn't understand until he accepts to play the role of the son, let's say. But this desire, not order, desire is there also. Like
nature plays a very strong role in the film, also on a symbolical level. What does that theme and the constant motives of nature mean for you?
Mm-hmm. For me, it's very, in Spanish, we say deriva. It's like when you are writing and you move the... I mean, it's like the film takes the freedom to suddenly go to the mountains, to the highlands, and the highlands, and there the characters can be themselves and they are free of these parameters of domestication, and they like are more, they have a more animal behavior, and they are like only both of them in this volcano landscape, what the explosion of the volcano can provoke in them. Like, I really like this moment of the film. It's like my favorite. It's like if they become free after something really oppressive.
The rain of ash from the volcano, is it actually an active volcano or is that something that was staged?
We put it, we made as is a stage, but it is an active volcano, in fact, in Ecuador.
And so is it something that's happened there?
Yes, yes, a lot of times. And we have gone through long times of ashes and with the fear of the volcanoes, because Quito is surrounded by volcanoes and mountains. So this is something that is always a theme.
Do you scout for the natural places that you show in your film, or do you already know them and find them?
I scouted, but several years ago, four years ago, I already knew where I wanted to shoot. And it's this lagoon very big that is called Mojanda, and it's in a place that is called Fuya Fuya, and then the Cotopaxi Park. And we kind of joined these two places to build one.
The title Hiedrat means the ivy. It's also very natural, symbolic, and animistic. What does it mean for you, if you want to explain it?
Yes, for me, ivy is it has two meanings. One of them is like this plant that kind of grows without being planted, and that is like really beautiful, but at the same time is toxic, and that really, how you say it, grows in the walls, and it really reborns its own self. Even in darkness, it grows. So, like the characters, let's say. And on the other hand, the ivy is a plant that reminds me to this nostalgic and more like cloudy weather in Quito, and these abandoned places where the ivy grows a lot. So, yes, I like the title because it has many meanings for me.
How did you research into the social subjects of your film? For example, the foster home system.
Mm-hmm. I did a long research. Like, we had a close contact with San Vicente de Paul, that is a foster home there. So we did a kind of an investigation. I even started to do a kind of documentary there and to talk with the boys that are leaving the orphanage, and to like a bit there with the babies and do some projects with them. And then I could write the script, like with this investigation, because in my previous film, I only used to talk about what I really knew. I felt honest, like talking about topics that were almost autobiographic. And in this film, I wanted to give the step of talking about another, but with all the investigation that it needs, and like driving this intimacy to this world.
Now that you have your film here at Venice, what would you hope that the audience takes away from it?
Mm-hmm. Well, I like when films remain with me, like a part of the fact if I like it or not, like days go through and you feel like a kind of an atmosphere, or like kind of almost a smell that is with you, and the images remain, is something that goes more from the unconscious. So for me, this is a good film when I am really, it changes in a way me, but I don't understand what I'm feeling. I have questions. I mean, it remains in my head. So I would like that to happen when people see the film. Like, they are not really sure what they are feeling, but they are feeling something strong.
You already mentioned that you did a little documentary when working and researching at the foster home. Do you see yourself doing next a fictional project or a documentary, or maybe both parallel?
I have never done a documentary. This will be the first. And I am trying to raise the project and to work and to shoot there, or because it's like very interesting for me to work with real people and to show this universe inside the foster home. But at the same time, I'm working in two fictions now. One of them, we came here to Venice Gap, because we already have some of the money and we are working in raising it a bit more. And it's called Amapola. And it's also about a foster home, but in this case it's more not a foster home. It's like a home where they rescue girls who have been sex trafficked, and they place them in this home for 6 months or a year before they can go back to their lives. So they have therapies, they are girls who have like babies they have had because of their abuse, and they at the same time they are small girls, so it has something to do with Yedra, but at the same time it's only in this house, like all the coexistence, let's say, of the girls inside the house.
And the documentary work that you mentioned, what is with that?
The documentary work is I think it will be a project that I will do in some years, because now I have to concentrate in Amapola.
Well, we will keep looking out on that. Mm-hmm. So thank you so much for the interview. The Ivy is now in Venice. As soon as it gets a German release, you can hear about it and read about it at Movie Break. Thank you.
Thank you.